Our brother's come. We had a little breakfast for him last year for the men out at Woodview. We had a very good time. He showed us some pictures. He showed us some of them on the wall and some of them on the roof. We had no screen that day, but it was a very, very good time. He's been over in Ballymagurney tonight already, and we appreciate him coming over this length afterwards. He's going to testify to us, and he'll give us a wee update as well. But the Lord bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
And be with you.
Thank you very much,
Ross. Pin that on you, and you can walk about then if you want.
And it's called being wired up. Amen. Well, I want to say thank you, first of all, to your minister. He contacted me in the Philippines, and very pleased for communication, brother, there. And then he asked us to do this meeting. At that time, I had only one deputation meeting, this one. And then we got a few more organized for us, Mr. Stanley Barnes. I was brought up in the old church down on the Ravenhill Road. And, of course, the teachers, Sunday school teachers there, teaching us the way of salvation, telling us that we needed to be saved. I'm quite sure, like many of you tonight, up through Sunday school, into the children's meetings, and hearing the word of the Lord. And then, well, maybe 14, when we were leaving school and getting work, then we bluffed it off with Sunday school. You don't go to Sunday school now. And I was able to get out of that. But my mother, father and mother, they required me to attend church. And it was in the church hall at that time. I liked the ripping and roaring of my minister, Dr. Paisley. I knew you wouldn't fall asleep. He kept you interested anyway and awake. So I liked going there. That was okay. But when I came home, there was always questions asked about what he preached on, he said. So you needed to attend. And attend we did. But however, we're beginning to get away from Sunday school now. And what the phrase is, get out into the world. And we did that too. But we were always keeping in contact with that Sunday evening meeting. And then one night, a man, an Indian came by the name of Jordan Khan. You remember him. And he took the meeting that night. And I did not know one word he said. That night, I'm sitting in the gallery, the old gallery there. And of course, he's challenging the people, God's people, for prayer, that man. But we didn't understand. But however, a lad that we would have sat beside every Sunday night there, he said to me, Noel, will you stay for the fellowship tonight? The first time he had asked me to stay, I said, okay. And so we went in. There might have been 15 young people there. And my mentor, William Bammer, was leading the choruses there that night. And I felt that these young people, they had something that I had not got. I felt that very much so. They were singing there. And yet, just that feeling in my soul, I'm looking and listening to these and singing. I knew that I was not saved. There's a miss there. So after it was over, there was nothing dramatic happened at all. I went to William Bammer and asked him, could I see the minister? So up to the manse, and waited. And Mrs. Paisley, she was always, we're in the kitchen, coming in. You'll be in a wee minute. So it must have been near 11 o'clock, and he was at another meeting when he arrived in. So he started to talk to us about the Lord. So very simple, he took cups there, and he says, "Here's the Lord, and here's you, and here's your sin." And Jesus, and he put one cup on top of the other cup. He said, "The Lord Jesus took your sin. He died for you." So I'd heard all that before anyway, so I just nodded anyway, dead on. So, then he was pressing in, you see, and I thought it was time to get out now. Actually, out of the house, you see. So, I said to him, "Would you pray for me?" That was a good line. And I wanted out. So he says, "Do you not think you should pray for yourself?" Now, I always say, like an experienced fisherman knows how to fish and catch fish. And him as a soul winner, he had me now in a corner. I'll have to answer. So I said, "Well, yes." So we got down on our knees, and I said to him, "Do you know that I'm bad?" He says, "Yes, I know, but we're all bad. The Lord Jesus died for bad sinners." So that was that one moved out of the way too. And then I said to him, I don't know what, he says, "Pray." So I don't know what to say. "Now you Sunday school teachers and children's workers, here's the blessing of teaching children choruses. I had learned that chorus, come into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus." And so that came flashed into my head, and it just blurted out, "Come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus." And he did. Before that wee incident, I said to him, I don't feel like crying. Are you listening, church? I don't feel like crying. Because I had heard reports of Dr. Paisley at missions up the country, every here, there, and yonder. And we were hearing reports of men actually standing up as he preached, crying out, "The one that saved." I'd heard stuff like that. So now I say to him, "I don't feel like crying." He says, "No, the Bible doesn't say whosoever feels like crying. The Bible says whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." He's getting angry. I thought he's getting a wee bit angry now. You see, getting a bit ruffled. He said, "Well, you just ask the Lord. Just call upon the Lord." So both of us now down on our knees, and I called upon the Lord. "Jesus, come into my heart." I got saved. That was it. Nothing dramatic. I just called upon the Lord, and he saved me. Praise the Lord. We had made many professions. We used to get saved every Friday night in the children's meeting. Did you hear that, brother? Total heresy. But anyway, we thought we were getting saved every Friday night. You see, let me tell you something. It didn't do us a button of harm. Are you listening? No. It wasn't to be the first Friday night we would have asked Jesus into our heart. But I do remember on the 4th of November 1962 when I got converted. Amen. Saved. Praise the Lord. Now, it was 11:30, maybe later, and we're going down the street back home, down the road, the Woodstock Road there. So I said to Billy, "I need to tell my mate I'm saved." So, Billy just, okay, that's the cut of Billy. And so, go round, and mother opens the door. "Is Robert in?" "Yeah, he's in bed." And so get Robert out of bed and he's standing. He's very embarrassed, you see. He's standing, they're all embarrassed, you know. Robert, I've asked the Lord Jesus into my heart tonight. I've got saved. The football goes. This is what I told him. And the gambling goes. And the drinking goes. And the dancing went to the fiesta down in Crummy Street. There was a fight on it every Saturday night. All the blue men, Linfield supporters. And we all went down in there every Saturday night and finished up the war in Crummy Street. It's not there now. But however, all that goes tonight, Robert. I've got saved. So then we went on down and I'm standing at the corner of Woodstock Place. And I said to Billy, my mentor, I'll tell my father and mother. And went then up the stairs, opened the bedroom door and said, I've got saved tonight, Dad. And he shouted hallelujah. Amen. That was, I have a cousin here tonight. I'm smiling down at him. Brother Derek. Cousin Derek. He would know. I've got saved tonight. Hallelujah. Now what are you going to do? Well, I thought I should go round to the Friday night children's meeting. So I went round. Any other Friday night you'd have been drinking. But this Friday night now I'm in the children's meeting. Just sit there and watching. So I started doing that. And thought the workers were saying looking for the best row. So I thought I'd get my pocket full of sweets. And my row, I want my row to be the best row. So when the worker said, that row there is the best, that was my row. I had them all bribed with sweets. you workers, if you're getting it tight, hold up a Mars bar and say the best one wins a Mars. It works miracles, so it does. There's nothing magic about this, you know. Just you have a Mars bar, packet of Rolo. So he said, oh, go on, I felt great about that, brother. It was great. Now, we go into the prayer meeting on a Friday night. And I'm kneeling there with men. I thought they were mad, shouting and roaring, beating the chairs. Need to get back to those days too. The place was full. You would know the prayer and the room. And I would look up at times and they were mad beating. There was more noise in the prayer meeting than up at Windsor Park. I thought they were mad, but it was all right. The Lord was teaching us and we were learning. Aye. You see, you young fellas, get into the prayer meeting. Let God do, start working in your heart. That's the answer. Aye. Attend the prayer meeting. And if there's another prayer, go to it too. Praise the Lord. But anyway, there it is. And then one Friday night, the men were going out. My mentor, Billy Bomber, this was in 63 now, and he says, Noel, would you try a Sunday school class? So I said, no. He says, why not? I haven't tried. I can't teach. How do you know? Have you ever tried it? No, but I know I can't teach. And this went on. This lad would know Bonnie Palmer. This would on. If you're ever talking to Billy, bring a flask of tea and a big sandwich or two. That's the type of them. It goes on all night, bro. It went on to daylight, 5 o'clock on Saturday morning, and I needed to go to work, so I said, okay, I'll give it a shot anyway. So that was very early on in 63, and I'm still teaching. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God, listen, God blesses us, not because of us, in spite of us. Amen. The Lord sees fit to bless us. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for Colin Tinsley and I don't... Oh, there he's there. Amen, Colin. Praise the Lord. Well, I had a great time with Colin. I want you back to you and Mama there, the missus. Don't you give us a one-off. They want to get their own back on you, son. They want to drown you in water. They're looking forward to that. Amen. But a great time. Marvellous time. The children are all off school, the YP. And a marvellous time out preaching around the area. Brother Tom, his wife and the team there. It was really great. But however, that was the Lord leading. Not that we knew, but the Lord was guiding us into this work. Now, we're saved now, and we're involved in work, in the work of God. Open our meetings. Billy Bummer, Big Billy, had a bicycle, an ice cream bicycle. In the front of it was this big box, and in it he had the open air equipment, and he had an old gramophone that you wound up like this here. And then some big record singing there, some woman scraping away, and then wind it up. She was down off, so you had to give it another wind. It really looked kind of stupid, but we did it anyway. And it was all getting involved in the work of the Lord. Then, okay, got married and the family and everything. And something in us, something in here, God has, you're going to be working for the Lord. It's hard to explain, but let's say conviction there inside. Someday you, Noel, you will be in the work of the Lord. And sometimes that was very heavy on your mind, and then it would back off, and like the tide of conviction coming in, going out. Yeah, of course you're praying and reading the Bible there. Just wondering about it all. And then one night, Dr. Paisley banged the pulpit. He said, "This church needs a full-time children's worker." I would be sitting at the back, and my heart flipped over. Uh-huh. This is it. This was the door opening. So I go home to Marie, and I say to Marie, there's a call from the platform tonight about the children's work, Marie, and I need to talk to you. And I said, before you say anything, this is what I think will happen, you say. So I said, well, we leave our work. See, your pay will drop 50%. Mm-hmm. I felt that. I would have handed over all my money to the wife. It's like my father. My father said that the same money talks. The only thing it says to me is bye-bye. Hand it over to the wife. And she knew how to spend it. But we did that. And she says, "Noel, if you think it's the call of God, you answer it. Amen. Say amen, church." Uh-huh. Oh, that was, so we went in, and I think, you know, Belfast, moving about there, and working amongst the children and Sunday schools and stuff. And then, maybe after 25 years, I reckon 25 years driving buses and ringing bells, brother. Sometimes it was rough. I remember one night, a policeman had his two girls in the meeting. We had only the one bus at this time. Two buses, one that I could use for the children's work. And he came in to me. He says, "Noel, there's a haversack bag in the front wheel with wires hanging out of it." What? So, this is all. You have to drive the bus full of children home. There's a bag under the wheel there, you see. So, it was a Friday night, bro. And so the army's all flying about. So, we have the army down. Look at this. The children in the meeting. They're waiting for us coming in. So, some soldier, "Would you drive it away?" He says, "I'm not driving it." "I'm not going to drive it." "Oh, it's all right, I'll drive it. Will you watch it so the back wheel doesn't go over this bag?" So he's hunkered down and he's waving me about. No, it was only a bluff one. And get the kids in. And then down the Hollywood line there, that the army barracks, police all flying by you, something matter here. And the way down the tube, kind of stop. He said, block the road, the Land Rovers. Is this Paisley's bus? Yes. We have got word that Paisley's bus is heading for Bangor with bombs on it. Just out of a meeting. We're all going to the seats, so checking it, brother. Now, sometimes it was a wee bit rough, but now the 25 years is up. We had visited Kenya, Africa, for 3 seasons there, and we found out how the other half lived. Are you with me, Christian? See, you young fellas. Uh-huh. That's what you want to do. Find out how the other half live. Living starving. Living in total poverty. Wondering what they're going to eat tomorrow. That's how they're living. But however, the Lord started to speak to me then. And so, reading the Bible. Remember the woman with the box of ointment breaking it over the Lord? And the Lord Jesus says, there was a bit of a murmur about that. And the Lord said, let her alone. She hath done what she could. That was the challenge. I'm saying to myself, have I done what I could? Well, I think the only thing that I could do is preach and teach. And maybe by the end of the night, you'll be saying, I'm not so sure about preaching and teaching. But that's what I thought anyway. The only thing we could offer them is Bible story. That's what's thumping in here. Yeah. Then we took another turn. We're going out to the Philippines. We had a group of young people who would go with us in these trips, you see, and they were evangelistic trips. That's what the whole business was. You surrendered your holiday and you went out and you give tracts out and had open air meetings somewhere. That's the way it was. And so, out to the Philippines in the map, you see, this was in the Monday night. Where don't see the Philippines. He says, no, it was over there on the map. The lad shouting up at me. Oh, he says, well, it's on the other side of the world. No, it's only a flight away. Amen. That's all right. 2 stops and you're there. Praise the Lord. Well, just jump in an airplane so way that gets you there. Amen. Say amen, church. I mean, you know what I mean? Ah. And so, okay. Make contact with wee Laura, Pastor Ferdy, you see. And then that was it. Went out there, took us round. I slept in the wee Baptist hall in a room there. And worked out of there. The pastors would take us out and they would interpret for me. I preached in English and they turned it into Tagalog. I'll tell you. And listen, in the midst of it all in the street, put up your hand if you need to be saved. I'm saying this is like the old days back home. Amen. Are you with me? Out in the street and people got saved 10 years ago and they're still going to the wee church, Baptist church there. In Passig, still attending the house of the Lord, praise the Lord. But however, we've seen people there, will you come back again, will you come back, stuff like that. And so now it's intensifying the desire now to go further out with the Lord. It's beginning to get really conviction now. I talk to Marie. Until she says, Noah, see if you don't go. Don't talk any more about it, please. My head's done in with this talk. Just do it. Amen. Uh-huh. So, okay. I'm called up to storm out one day, brother. Thought the artery's being cut. And I said to Marie, you listen, young man. You listen to this. I thought I'm being axed. Meaning, the financial source will be stopped forever. That's what I mean. Are you listening? So I turn to Marie and I say to Marie, if the arteries cut today, I'll go back to mixing sand and cement for the builder man. Amen. That was my heart. But when I got there, I was told, Noel, you go to the Philippines for a year. You find out If you want to work in the Philippines, come back and let us know. And I say, that's the door opening, eh? That's the open door, brother. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Uh-huh. And so, out you go, and working the areas in the car, that van, open air meetings here, there, and yonder. And then people asked, would you come to our street, And we would have open air meetings and then Bible studies as well. Then one day, will you go to my street, Uncle Noel? Where is your street? Oh, okay, down there, turn right. And we're in the squatter area. And I thought, this is the place to be. Amen. So you're walking through mud and you're jumping through puddles and stuff and wondering where will you go, and stuff like that. But I thought this was it. Amen. And it was it too. So you're working your way through the area now. And we're singing to groups of people standing about. Can we sing to you? Get the accordion on, choruses written out, flashcard, and singing Jesus Loves Me, and then move on. Then one day a woman says, would you start a Sunday school in my house? Oh, that's the challenge. Aye. You have to understand, when you drive into this place, you sink in mud, and once you sink in mud, you're stuck. And you're waiting for angels to come and push you out of it. There was a lot of angels. There were fallen angels, brother. But however, they came and pushed you out of it. So that was it. So I'm living and sleeping in the little Baptist church. Very comfortable. But you go out here, well, you start a Sunday school. So that was you up earlier and go there and not knowing. Where is your house, ma'am? Around the corner. Little bits of sticks, a big sheet of plastic, lifted over like that, in hot weather, lift it off, in wet weather, bring it down, throw out bits of stick, keep it down. That was her house, dead on. So we started the Sunday school, and there's maybe 80 people there. But however, we took people from the area to Pastor Ferry's church. Well, one night, my door, the bedroom door. Uncle Noel. What? We're going to Jenny's birthday party. It's midnight. What? You should be in your bed. No. Birthday party. Orange juice and biscuits. That's what they're looking for. Amen. What about this for the providence of God? Do you believe in the providence of God? What about this one? Okay, we'll go. So, you know the area, black as night, dark as night, and lake out there, not too many lights about the place. So, drive in there, and here's a man lying sleeping, there on the path. He's out for the count. Fall. And his brother fall. Drunk. The bike lying beside him. Uh-huh. Well, you have to understand that it's nice and warm out there. At night, you could lie down and have a sleep, as long as the rats don't get at you. But however, there he is. So you pick him up, you put your arm around him, and he apologizes because of the traffic. But I apologize. Took him, and it was his sister's birthday. What about that one? So I sit beside him and asked him to come to church. He says, all right. Eventually, he says, yes, his wife came. And he got saved. The boy got saved. And he turned out to be the builder. He built the first building, him and I standing there and digging holes on garbage, bro. And digging and digging. And he doesn't speak too much English, and I don't speak too much Tagalog. That's all sign language. And he's given me iron bar to saw and then bend it and everything for your concrete posts, stuff like that. And the devil saying, what are you doing here? You're mad. I heard that one pumped into me here many a day. You're mad. Yeah. Now, the problem was, you can't go and talk to your brother and unburden and talk like this. No, you're on your own, just you and the Lord. It's nice to have a few friends too, to talk to about the work of God. Amen. And so it was awkward, but we done it anyway. Praise the Lord. The building went up. So I need to be careful of the time. So what happens now? What's happening now is that we have a church building. The ground floor has 6 classrooms. There are 95, I'm very proud of this. I'm very proud of this, the way I am. There are 95 children attending the school in there in those classrooms, brother. Marvelous. The people who have put their faith and their confidence in us to teach it. They're 95% Catholic children. And their mothers come every day there, and then we teach them. We preach to the mothers once a month, all in. They're going to have a meeting with the teachers. I preach to them, sing choruses, get them all going, singing choruses there. And it's really a great witness once a week with the children, the whole body of the school. You pray for that school. Pray that that more come in. We needed space. And you know the building, brother, the first building. So the ground and all night, and I didn't fancy really, again, going waist deep. Ever see the lagging mud? The lagging mud. Well, that's just exactly what it's like. The lagging mud down there, and men digging it out with their hands. I didn't fancy it. So the idea was, Uncle Noel, what about if we build 2 rooms and attach them onto the church? You vacate the other old building, and we turn the second floor and the third floor into 6 school rooms. What about that one, brother? Say amen to that. Uh-huh. Are you with me? Uh-huh. So long term, the first thing we have to do is finish these 2 rooms here and then furnish them out. Praise the Lord. I move in there. It'll be a wee bit safer. Brother Victor, he's the last man. He'll be locking the gates. When where I am now, you're on your own. Down the gates locked, then up onto the floor, it's locked. And then if you come through there, you'll meet Rambo and another dog. And then if you get past them and get into my room, you'll meet a bulldog as well, and you'll have a problem. Amen. Are you with me? Uh-huh. So you need to secure the place. It wouldn't be the first time we're standing at 1 o'clock in the morning with a dog and there's problems outside. But however, the great thing about it is God has protected and preserved us. We give him the glory. Amen. Not too many police knocking about that squatter area. It's the place to hide when you're fighting with the police, actually. But however, there it is, the freedom and the liberty to have meetings in that area. Praise the Lord. Our sister, our young sister, was singing that hymn, that second one there, that she was about the Lord leading. Praise the Lord. See, when you look back on it all and know, see him trace the hand of God. Big German, I've got some notes here. I might have been asking the prayer meeting to pray for the German here the last time. Big Chris, he's married to a Filipino. And when I got home, when I got back again, the big fella had asked the Lord into his heart. Big Chris, he got saved. He came to me, he says, Noel, what do I need to do to join your church? And I says, Chris, you need to join God's church. That's what you need to do. You need to get saved. Uh-huh. And when I came back again, the big fella had got saved, and his wee Filipino wife. We would Bible study them an hour and a half, very nearly every day, brings the children to the school, and he comes up. And we have a real, we're looking into the Bible. So I say to him, Chris, We want to teach you as much of the Bible as we possibly can. Send you back to Germany and be a Martin Luther. Amen. All right. Say amen, church. Aye. I tell you, need to be excited. The Lord's working. Aye. I'm telling you. So we have a church service. It's a burning bush. Yeah, that's what. It's the Burning Bush Bible Baptist Church. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you. And it's going forward for the Lord too. Aye. We Jamaica, she comes, she says, Uncle Noel, I think God wants me to go to a Bible college. Imagine. Uh-huh. And I say, God, you think God is wanting you to go to a Bible college? We'll help you to get to the Bible college. And she's there for 3 years now, another year to do. And she's out, amen. Pray for Jamaica. Uh-huh. Pray that the Lord guides her into the work of God. Mm-hmm. Then two boys, just this year, we're always praying. We need young men and train them as preachers. And Manny Boy, and Mark. Uh-huh. And they come and they're talking about the idea of pastoral work, preaching work. You pray for Mark and Manny Boy, two converted Roman Catholics from a Roman Catholic background, and they're talking about wanting to do the work of the Lord. So you pray that they go through with God. That's important. Uh-huh. Talking about it and doing it is different. And church, you need to pray. Here's one, I'll give you this. I'll not sing it, but I'll just read it out to you. It's Noel Grant's one. I used to walk around the martyrs playing the accordion and singing this. Couldn't get away from it. No, the call of God, it is so clear. Okay. You young fellas, young girls, are you listening? The call of God, it is so clear. And then it says, but friendship's call, that's the problem. And home is dear. Of course it is. Uh-huh. It never gets any easier. Marie will lock the door and go upstairs. Nobody visits her that day. She will go upstairs into the bedroom and cry. Doesn't get any easier. But it's just the way it has to be. She's minding her mother. She's 91 year old, blind and deaf. Mrs. Coffey, my mother, and she's still with us. So she feels that she needs to stay with the mother, brother. Uh-huh. It's marvelous. It's the Lord's doing. You pray for those two boys that they go through with God. Uh-huh. The call of God, it is so clear. Friendships will be calling, and home will be dear. And then Noel Grant says, ah, lonely was the path he trod. Uh-huh. Jesus did all this for you and me, you know. He knew all about loneliness. See the unsaved tonight. Jesus loves you. And go home. If you don't get anything else, go home with this idea, because it's biblical. Jesus loves me. He loves you. Praise the Lord. He wants you saved. Amen. You need to be born again. You need to be saved. Can I read this letter out to you? Will you hear this? This is from a wee girl out of my class. Mm-hmm. I give them wee bits of paper, you see, to colour in. If you want to write a letter, write me a letter. She writes me this letter. I have a whole pile of them there back home. I am grateful to God that we have a pastor who is kind to us. That's me. Uncle Noel. Amen. I accepted our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that nice? I tell them, when you're going to mention Jesus in a quiz, say, you say the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? The devil doesn't like that. We don't like the devil. So annoy him as much as you can. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Are you with me? This one got the message. She says, I accepted our Lord Jesus Christ in November 9, 2008. Amen. Victor's girl. Victor, the caretaker man. in our Sunday school, you ask, Ligtas Kanaba. Ligtas Kanaba. I never learned Tagalog. That was my failure. I chastised, I chid myself. I did not learn Tagalog because I thought I was jumping out of the Philippines and that was it. Why should I learn Tagalog? But I have words written down, you see. And now and again I will shout in the congregation, Ligtas Kanaba, on a Sunday morning. And they will shout, Amen! Not afraid to shout. Filipinos, amen. But this one, in Sunday school, you ask, Ligtas Kanaba, or are you saved? Amen. That's what it means. Are you saved? Ligtas Kanaba. Tonight, are you saved? Amen. This is a Filipino. And what does she say? I feel that I needed to accept Jesus. Thank you, Uncle Noah. It's worth more than a bucket of gold tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Are you with me, church? The Lord is working. The Lord is answering prayer. You keep praying. I was up a ladder. This is how you answer a prayer. This was an aluminium ladder. And you open it like that, get you a bit up higher, you see. And the problem was there's a crack in it. You see. And Victor says, I'll get a bit of scaffold down, Noah. So I'm sort of hasty. Aye. And I can't wait, in Victor, so I'll go up the ladder. The ladder's like a banana. It's already bent like that, like myself. And so climbing up the ladder, and you would know the weak part. You would know where the weak part is, the joint, and also the crack. But anyway, you're up there with a drill, and the old ladder broke. Broken too. And so the blessing, I slid straight down like that. And then the leg went in under, in between the steps and fell back. And I hit square on my back, but the leg was jammed in onto the ladder. But nothing broken, praise the Lord. I say, the Lord had his angel watching. I was a bit sore for a few weeks. But amen anyway, praise the Lord. So, brother, sister, we have to go forward in Jesus' name. In the summertime, their winter would be like our summer, by the way. That's what it would be like, you see. You'd be hot all the time. But however, March, April, May. They're going to be scorching months and running into June, then back into monsoon, typhoon weather coming. You might miss it, but you might get it too at the same time. And so, there it is coming. Before those rains come back, we go to Laguna Bay. Part of it's dried up, and we march up the road there with maybe 30 and sometimes 40 young people, and we're going to have an open air meeting at about 5:30, and the place is crowded with people, Filipino families out for the day, as it were. It's okay of a place. The wind's blowing hard, so the kites are up in the air. And Papa's playing with the child, with their kites are flying all around you. And people sitting here, along, the wall, looking down like this here, and we're having the opener. We pray that God speaks to people there. The senior men, senior people will go with their Bibles and start talking to people who are listening and witnessing to them. And that's the way it goes on. So, remember us in prayer, please, there. Brother asked me to give just a wee bit of guidance on the Lord guiding us as well. I remember the first time I went into the work, I'm always going to speak to the minister, but I never do. I check it out. So one night at the prayer meeting, he takes the message, Moses standing still. And God saying, go forward. And I say, tonight I'm going forward. And I did. Then we're thinking about the Philippines, brother. And I'm all agitated. I need what we say, a word from God. That's the phrase. So I go down to the church and I pick up a magazine and go upstairs. I put the Bible like this. I put it down, this magazine, down in the Bible. I say, Lord, I need a word from you. I open my eyes there down the side. Pastor Reverend Ken Elliott, he has an article there. Moses standing still and God saying, go forward. I say, Lord, I'm taking that from you this morning. I'll go forward. Amen. Are you with me, church? Yeah, okay. Now, I am in the Philippines. Where do you hear this one? And we're agitated. Will you start a Sunday school? Now, we're thinking of starting a building program in this garbage area. And who's the preacher that Sunday morning? The preacher happened to be your minister. Mm-hmm. This man. I don't know if you know this. I do not know if you know this. And there in Pastor Ferdy's wee church, the place was packed out. This man's preaching. And in his discourse, he mentions Moses standing still and God saying, go forward, sir. You mentioned that. Okay. You didn't know that, Jaden. Did you? Did you know that? You know, he had told him it before. Forgot. Amen. This meeting will shorten the winter. Well, you told him. There's tea afterwards anyway. You didn't need to bring your lunch. There's tea anyway. That's why there's tea. This is a long meeting. But however, brother, we're in the Lord's house. Amen. Tell you, see the Filipinos. They're not looking at their watches. Just goes on and on. Amen. Aye. Okay. But anyway, he preached on, you brought that into your message. And sitting there, I said, Lord, I'm going forward. Uh-huh. Now, sir, that meant that you were going to dig holes and put up a building. And to do that, you needed money. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. And I got a phone call from a big fella, don't even know his name, from Hillsborough. I knew him at the fellowship, that was a few years ago, the YP. He said, Noel, what are you doing and all this? I'm going to try and do a building. He says, I'll give you £500, start the building. And it never stopped. Praise the Lord. We had six men to pay every Saturday, 6 days a week. You'll work 6 days. You're not working seven. And it worked 6 days a week, brother. Praise the Lord. All of it done in 6 days a week. Wasn't all done in 6 days, but it was done every 6 days in a week. Understand? Amen. But it's the Lord's work. So I'm asking you to pray for those people. American moved in, built a big four-story down below us. He's in the process now of, it's virtually up six stories beside him. A big businessman. Not save married to a Filipino. Uh-huh. So I look at him. He's actually three buildings up. I look at these buildings. I say, he's building for time. We're building for eternity. Amen. Uh-huh. Now, no problem. What? Come down to this shop. Right, okay. It's after the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Come down. Don't know what's wrong. Into this room. Here's a girl. And she's lying on the floor. An auntie, her head's on her lap, stretched out there. And as soon as we spoke, this girl. We're asking, what's the problem? And as soon as we spoke, this girl began to kick out, shout. And this would go on to 2:30 in the morning. We're there at 9:00. It had started at about 6:00 at night, this stuff. So what would you do? Man, sister, what would you do if you're asked to come into this place and see that? So there's only one thing we could do, and that's start to pray. Just pray. Plead the blood of the Lord Jesus, which we did. And she's still kicking. Then the door opens and another one is brought in, and she's stronger. The strength carried in. People holding her down. Call her Mara. Will you pray? There was three of them. Will you pray for the three girls? Just say, Lord, save the three girls. God will know what you're talking about. Mara. Mm-hmm. And then the door will open again and they're bringing another one in. So I said, would you keep her out? Just put her in another room. There's enough problem here. Did you ever hear about demons? Mm-hmm. That's the first time. They're in that big, it's a big family orientated, everybody working there, all aunties and uncles and cousins and brothers and sisters, big connection brought in from the province, and there's a problem in it. There's a big problem. Mm-hmm. This is the third time that this stuff has broken out in amongst them. So, this girl, Mara, there. During all this sort of fighting and wrestling and then collapse, as it were. And you think, this is it. The devil's out of her. Then all of a sudden she'll waken up and start shouting again. Then collapse. Uh-huh. And you would imagine there's victory. But there's not. There wasn't. No. So one of these wakening up times she says, get me Barbie. This is a 19-year-old girl. I want Barbie. I want lollipops. Get me lollipops. You took my lollipops. Get me lollipops. Oh, very demanding. And I'm wondering, what is she talking about? Didn't know. Then, she wants to know where the Americano, that's what they call him. Where's your wife? So his wife, I wondered, or is this girl Filipino? There's this happening. These girls work for her. Where is this girl? She should be in here working with us. So manager and directors appeared at the door, and the girl, she rises up. There's people holding her down, and she rises up, and she says, you took our house. Now, what would you mean by that? You took our house. So I'm saying, what is she talking about? What did she say there? You took our house? I don't know what that meant. But later on, talk afterwards. What had they done, brother? We cut a tree down here for to build on. A tree. And they're told and taught, even in school, that there are spirits living in trees. Thank God for good, godly, and Christian Sunday school teachers that are teaching your children the Bible. Amen. Are you with me? They believe it. And now, because they cut down a tree, these spirits, they're angry. And now they're making an attack. Are you with me? They believe it. Yeah. So what? So, I need to speak to the American. And during this wrestling and fighting, Mara says, walk me round this building. I will leave this body. Are you listening, Christians? I will enter another body. So I say, what did she say again? And they're speaking in English too. Uh-huh. Walk me round this building. I will leave this body. I will enter another body. So we just looked at Mara and said, not that she understood, of course. She was away. We're not dealing, making deals with devils and demons. We're pleading the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just talked. But she was away with it. Do you understand, Christian? Tonight, the Bible says when we know the truth, what will it do? Set us free. Amen. The truth will make us free. And you and me, living in Northern Ireland, you and I don't really appreciate what the truth has set us free from. That's what we do not appreciate. So I asked the Sunday school class, do you ever hear about spirits in trees? Yes, Uncle Noel. Who tells you? Our teachers. I say, they're telling you that there are no spirits in trees. No, Uncle Noel. They tell us that there are spirits in the trees watching us. What about that one? So you thank God that your child comes to a Sunday school and is taught the Word of God. And Uncle Noel learned a few lessons that night. Here's what I learned, one of them. That we couldn't cast out demons and devils. Are you with me, brother? We do know that Jesus could do that sort of thing. But I'm not so sure if we could do it. I just leave a question mark over it. Because that same day, the next day, they were taken down to the chapel. And they broke out again. I don't know what happened down there. They're throwing holy water at them with us too. So I told them, no more water. It's going to be Jesus, not water and Jesus. Only Jesus alone. Amen. They've got their Bibles. They're reading Bibles. Will you pray as they read Bibles that the entrance of God's Word brings light into these girls? I'm going out in a couple of weeks' time, in the third week of this month, and you pray that the Lord will give us health, strength, protection, and fire in our souls to win for souls for Jesus. Barameen Salamat. A better finish, sorry. Will you hear this one? I must read this one. You thought it was all over, but it's not. And you go to a match that took you an hour to get to the match, and then you stood for an hour and a half, ripping and roaring, and telling people how to kick a ball, and then went back to the boogies or the pub. Not right. But anyway, it's me, Ella, 14. Who's Ella? Oh, she's a Filipino. Lives at the corner shop, Colin. We Ella, when we went and knocked Ella's door for to speak to Mama, Mama would have told Ella, tell him, I'm not in. We had the recording going to have sing choruses, tell her. But we knew she was in, Mama. So we just stood on. And then Mama had to come. And Mama's got saved, amen. Aye, she's a Christian. And she brings the five children every Sunday to the wee church. Praise the Lord. And then the prayer meeting and everything. Marvelous. He's not saved. He's like drinking. But that's Ella. I'm Ella. 14. I'm attending Uncle Noel's Sunday school class every Sunday morning. And of course, the service. I want to say hello and thank you, that's you, for the people there back home in Northern Ireland who helped to build our worship hall, who had helped the ministry here in Lakeview, Passex. May God bless you all. And for Pastor Noel and his family, thank you for everything you had given and helped us when we need help. I knew that thank you is simply not enough. May God bless you. As then he's talking to me as you travel back home. Amen. That's from a 14-year-old Filipino girl who's got saved. And she's saying, thanks very much. Praise the Lord. Maraming salamat. In the summer, we'll have a children's mission. we'll walk around the area and finish up the 500 in the building. Amen. I say, this is like walking around the walls of Jericho here, and all the children all walking with bits of banners and stuff, and they walk the whole way around this area, our own area, and then we'll have the mission. We'll have open air meetings there on a Saturday. We'll have four Sunday schools going, and every time you have a meeting with children, you have to feed them. Amen. And the feeding comes from Northern Ireland, Christians, the money. Praise the Lord. We're able to do it because people, God touches this one, that one, and it touches people I don't know, and the work goes on. Maramin Salamat, thank you very much. Amen.